Well, everyone, welcome to the program. We have a fantastic guest joining us today. It's travel guru, author, and PBS host Rick Steves on the phone with us. Rick, how are you doing?
Hey, Russ, I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's always been great seeing you out here on the West Coast. You're always putting your money and your money where your mouth is, I should say, when it comes to the issue of legalizing marijuana. You were instrumental in helping get Washington's I-502 passed. You toured Oregon to help us understand why we should legalize cannabis. Now you're out there on the East Coast. I understand you're meeting with the Congressional Cannabis Caucus. Tell our listeners a little bit about what you're up to there in those East Coast states.
Well, you know, I've been at this for, I've been a board member of Normal for 10 or 15 years and active in legislative issues for the last 6 or 8 years. You know, in 2012, 2014, 2016, we were doing initiatives. Now we've pretty much exhausted the progressive initiative states and we're going into the state houses. So I'm working with Normal and with Marijuana Policy Project here to go to the states on the East Coast that are likely to pass legalize, tax, and regulate bills in their state houses, and meeting with legislators just to share them with them the experience we've had in Washington and in Oregon. Because, you know, when we legalized marijuana in 2012 in Washington State, it was kind of a hunch. You remember that. We
Yes.
thought use would not go up. We thought crime would not go up. We thought DUIs would not go up. Now we know use does not go up among teens and crime doesn't go up. And what we also know is we generate a lot of tax revenue by taking away a thriving black market and replacing it with a highly regulated and highly taxed legal market. You know, our governor, James Lee, is getting $310 million a year in tax revenue that he wouldn't see otherwise. Plus, he's saving millions and millions of dollars by redirecting his law enforcement resources away from marijuana, petty crimes, and into real serious issues. And I can share that experience now, that real track record, with caring legislators here on the Eastern Coast. So I'm spending the week doing that in about 4 different states. And today I'm on Capitol Hill talking to Congress people, representatives and senators about federal laws and concerns. And I'm not a policy wonk. You know, I've got my friends from Normal with me to do that. But I'm just sharing why I would spend so much time talking to people about the importance of stopping the prohibition against marijuana here in the United States.
You mentioned that we've kind of picked the low-hanging fruit when it comes to progressive states, these initiative states. As you are out on the East Coast and talking with some of the officials out there, and especially the consideration that we have to get this through a legislature, which may be a little more conservative on the issue, what are some of the concerns you're hearing, and how do you allay those concerns from these legislators?
Well, you know, the concerns are driven by the PPP, the pot prohibition profiteers, and that varies from state to state. In some states, it's safety on the road. In other states, they're concerned about big business taking over marijuana, and all of a sudden, it's Joe Camel with a joint in his mouth. Other people are concerned about the gateway drug effect and as it relates to the opioid crisis. And all of these issues are pretty easy to address, but we just have to get people's attention long enough so we can explain to them what are the facts on each of these issues. But we're making progress, and I think we're on the verge of getting through in a lot of states. What you have to do is have both a legislature and a governor that can be progressive on this issue. And one thing I'm reminding people is that in states like Washington and Oregon and Colorado, where we know what the result is, essentially the entire congressional delegation recognizes the wisdom of these laws. You know, you can cherry pick your statistics all you want, and in one county, if there was one accident with somebody with THC in their blood and others too, you can say, accidents on the road double when you legalize marijuana. Well, that's a dishonest use of the statistics. And you can tell people that, in half of the states in the country have medical marijuana and there's no correlation with road safety and whether a state is a legal, recreational or medicinal state or not. And then, you know, you share these kind of examples to allay people's concerns. Another thing is, Vermont has just legalized now, and Vermont will have its own version of a legalized law starting in July, I believe. But they can't retail it. It's just you can use it. So they're going to have to learn that it has to progress a little bit beyond that. So we're all learning and we're moving forward. And it's just a long and hard process. And thank goodness there are a lot of people working at this and we're making progress.
You know, you mentioned Vermont passing legalization that is a similar to Washington, D.C.'s, a grow-and-give system where there is no retail. New Jersey now has a governor coming in who's friendly to the issue, but they're talking about doing a retail with no home grow. Do you see this variation in policy as we go to the state level, this variation in policy being a hindrance to further reform, or is it just a necessary evil that different states are going to do it differently?
Well, I guess it's a necessary evil because you'd assume people are writing these laws know what the concerns are among that constituency or electorate. And, you know, we have to recognize that there are legitimate concerns from people that don't know this issue, and they're worried that their kids are going to be advertised against, or they're worried about the gateway effect, or they're worried about safety on the road or whatever. And, you know, in our state, for instance, in Washington, we are very conservative to the disappointment of a lot of people who are more progressive on marijuana issues, but we wanted to win the election. And then I love this idea that legislators, that's what they do, is they take a law and they tweak it as they gain more experience with it. So, you know, from each election cycle, we learn from the last election cycle and we have smarter laws. And then once a law is passed, you can tweak it with your legislative branch to implement it more smartly. I wish that, well, it's just a lot of hard work to go state by state, but it's just a necessary evil, I think, Russ.
You're up on Capitol Hill today. Of course, a lot of federal issues we're dealing with for the legal marijuana states, such as banking and taxation and so forth. But I got to say, the administration we had before with President Obama, a far different cry from what we're getting under President Trump, especially Attorney General Jeff Sessions and Congressman Pete Sessions, who are invoking the just say no Nancy Reagan 1980s drug war policies. Do you feel that's galvanizing some people now that maybe we're on the fence about the marijuana issue? The Sessions' threats of crackdown may be getting people off the fence to take a stand?
Well, it seems like it's throwback Thursday every day of the week over here when it comes to policy wisdom. And, you know, what I'm trying to remind people is that a lot of the political establishment is talking like it's 2010. When Reefer Madness propaganda had a little bit of traction, but and then what I keep telling people, no, it's 2018. We have a track record. This is no mystery. This is not hunches. This is actually what are the results. Of course, when you have a change in our administrative branch and you have people like Jeff Sessions talking like Reefer Madness, what do you do? I don't know. We try to frame it in a way that conservatives can embrace this. If somebody is honestly, intellectually honest about their conservative politics, well, they will stand by this idea of civil liberties or fiscal responsibility or respect for law enforcement or states' rights. And these are all ways you can frame this discussion in a way that conservatives can embrace it. But a lot of the ideologues that are calling the shots in our government right now are not intellectually consistent or honest about their policies. They just want to keep locking up pot smokers. You know, you could tell them it's a race issue. They're not arresting rich white guys. They're arresting poor people and black people. But that, when truth be told, that may not resonate with them because they don't really care about race issues. Then you try fiscal responsibility. And you tell them in Washington State, we got $300 million of tax revenue a year. Not because we're smoking more pot, but because we've taken a black market and turned it into a highly regulated legal market. Maybe that resonates with them. Yeah, I don't know. But we just try to keep knocking on the door and talking comments and slowly and slowly, I think there's a rising tide of awareness here, and the truth will prevail.
I know you have to get to the next session with the Congressional Cannabis Caucus and the folks up there on Capitol Hill. Before we let you go, Rick, of course, people know you from Rick Steves Europe, your travel guides. You're well known for European travel. Is there any change in how Europeans are looking at this issue now that the United States is moving forward with so many states legalizing, especially California? I know they've always been fairly progressive on the issue. Have they gotten more so? Or is there any reactionary forces like what we saw with Jeff Sessions? Is any of that going on in Europe?
Well, you got your reactionary governments in Europe, in Poland and in Hungary, and I don't know what their drug policy stance is lately, but one thing interesting is we used to look for Europe for leadership and inspiration, and now Europe is looking to states in the United States that have actually not decriminalized, but actually legalized. And of course, in the Netherlands, you know, they're famous for decriminalizing marijuana, but it's still technically illegal, and they never really dealt with what they call the gray area, legal, you know, the distribution and the wholesaling and all the back end. In Washington, Colorado, Oregon, and now California and the other states, we are figuring out the gray area, the back end, and no political entity has ever done that, and this is making this kind of drug policy reform possible. So Europe is flying over our public servants who are dealing with this so we can teach them what we're learning. So now states in the United States are taking the leadership role, and Europe is being inspired by us.
Well, Rick Steves, thank you for being on our program today, and thank you for going out to the East Coast, because as far as I'm aware, you're undefeated in the states that you've promoted marijuana legalization. Is that the fact? Is that true?
I got a good record. I won in Washington in 2012, Oregon in 2014, and Massachusetts and Maine in 2016, and things are looking pretty good in 2018. And Russ, it's always nice talking to you, and I would just say... happy travels, even if you're just staying home.
All right. Thank you, Rick Steves. Check out ricksteves.com and, of course, normal.org for more information on the organization. Rick, thanks so much. And give my best to my Congressman Earl Blumenauer while you're there.
I'm going to see him just in a few minutes. Thanks, Russ.
Thank you.